With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. The day has come that you can say, let's play a good book.
Upon learning that the mother wrote verses, and that the father wrote verses, and that the youngest son was in a publisher's office, and that the friend of the second daughter was undergoing a novel, the young American pilgrim exclaimed, this is a darn clever bunch.
That reading by poet Ezra Pound is one of 1,500 titles on record or tape in the Cadman catalog. Created in 1952, Cadman is a pioneer among firms that record the spoken word. Linda Morgenstern is a producer at Cadman.
We got Robert Frost to read his own and Carl Sandburg. We did go with the poet or the author. We still do that, as recently as Ancient Evenings, read by Norman Mailer.
Cadman is also the first to put its spoken word recordings onto compact disc. The initial title was Dylan Thomas reading A Child's Christmas in Wales, which was the first recording Cadman made more than 30 years ago.
It seemed to bring us full circle. It seemed to be a natural extension of what we were doing.
Cadman originally geared its recordings for schools and libraries, but eventually found a retail market and sells its records and cassettes in audio and bookstores and by mail order. Producer Linda Morgenstern likes working with the artist she records at Cadman's own studio in New York City.
Frank Langella was up. Christopher Plummer was up the week before. It's really nice to see these people trafficking through. You get to know whether they like their coffee with or without cream. And
I have tricks in my pocket. I have things up my sleeve.
Tennessee Williams.
But I am the opposite of a stage magician. He gives you illusion that has the appearance of truth. I give you truth in the pleasant disguise of illusion.
Reading from the Glass Menagerie for Cadman, pioneer in the spoken arts field. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. An expert in the field of the spoken word on tapes and records is Dr. Arthur Luce Klein, who founded his firm Spoken Arts 30 years ago. The New Rochelle, New York-based firm is one of the most scholarly in the industry, and the Spoken Arts catalog lists hundreds of poets and novelists who read from their own work, such as Dorothy Parker.
Why is it no one ever sent me yet one perfect limousine, do you suppose? Ah, no, it's always just my luck to get one perfect rose.
Audio publishing was an untested field when Arthur Luce Klein first entered it, and part of his initiation was confronting record store owner Sam Goody over an unpaid bill.
He says, oh, hello, doctor, what can I do for you? I said, well, Mr. Goody, I came because I have a bill here of $800 that's been, I don't know, 6 months past due. He says, $800? He says, just a minute. He says, hello? You want to make out a check for $200 for Dr. Klein? So I said, but Sam, thinking I might as well call him by his first name, I said, it's $800. We're not a bank. He says, well, all right, picks up the phone and goes, you make it out for $400.
Well, there are political speeches and language arts in the Spoken Arts catalog. Arthur Luce Klein rejects how-to recordings.
Nor do I intend to do any. How to reduce, how to gain weight, what is good in sex, what is bad in sex. It doesn't interest me.
I sing the body electric. The armies of those I love engirth me and I engirth them. They will not let me off till I go with them, respond to them, and discorrupt them, and charge them full with the charge of the soul.
Alexander Scorby reading from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass for Spoken Arts, celebrating its 30th anniversary. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain.
We're in the entertainment business. We're offering an alternative form of entertainment.
That's Terry Durkin of Listen for Pleasure, a leading producer of books on cassette tape. Listen for Pleasure entered the U.S. market from Britain by way of Canada. Its U.S. operations are based in Buffalo. Listen for Pleasure's catalog lists some 130 titles, most of them by British writers.
If you look at the top 10 bestseller list in America at most times, you're going to find the names of Ken Follett or Frederick Forsyth or Dick Francis or John le Carré.
Who reads from his The Spy Who Came In from the Cold.
He was not a reflective man, and not a particularly philosophical one. He knew he was written off. It was a fact of life which he would henceforth live with, as a man must live with cancer or imprisonment. He met failure as one day he would probably meet death, with cynical resentment and the courage of a solitary.
Le Carré is a fine dramatic reader, and the fact that he wrote the book, he is able to give that extra dimension to some of the character. He knew exactly what character he wanted to create.
But Terry Durkin says Listen for Pleasure is also producing books by American writers, such as Joseph Heller's Catch-22, read by Alan Arkin.
He has to be crazy to keep flying combat missions after all the close calls he's had. Sure, I can ground ore, but first he has to ask me to. That's all he has to do to be grounded? That's all. Let him ask me. And then you can ground him? Yessarian asked. No. Then I can't ground him. You mean there's a catch? Sure there's a catch, Dr. Nika replied. Catch 22.
By 1987, Listen for Pleasure expects to have more than 300 cassette titles in book and audio stores, as well as in its shop-by-mail catalog. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain.
My industry needs a blockbuster.
That's Daniel Roth, executive producer of Newman Communications, which entered the books on tape field in 1981 as a distributor for such audio producers as Listen for Pleasure. But Newman is now marketing its own cassettes.
Most people don't know about audio cassettes. It's less popular in New York than it is in the West, where people drive more.
Newman Communications, based in Albuquerque, offers a wide selection of fiction and nonfiction, such as How to Make Money on Wall Street by Louis Rukeyser and Richard Crenna reading The Hunt for Red October. Daniel Roth says one of Newman's biggest sellers is a set of Prairie Home Companion monologues by Garrison Keillor.
He was wildly successful prior to his book coming out, prior to his being on the cover of Time magazine. And he's one of the few, the only instance that I know of where a major cassette derived from non-book-based material.
Some examples of audio cassettes distributed by Newman.
Welcome to another of Nightingale Conant's audio cassette products. Each of our programs is designed to sharply increase your awareness by offering you ideas and knowledge that you can access at home, at work, and even while driving.
My name's William Golding, and I wrote this book, Lord of the Flies.
Loosen any constricting clothing. Take a deep breath in. And as you let it out, allow your eyes to focus on a point off in the distance.
Rocket summer. People lean from their dripping porches and watch the reddening sky. The rocket lay on the launching field, blowing out pink clouds of fire and oven heat.
Ray Bradbury reading from the Martian Chronicles. Newman Communications cassettes are being released at the rate of about 12 a month and are sold by the major bookstore chains as well as by mail. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. It's called Audio Publishing, and one of the players is Warner Audio. Warner moved into the field in earnest after it acquired an adult education company called Network for Learning, which had been putting its education courses on tape. That's why Warner Audio's catalog is heavy on self-help cassettes. Warner Audio publisher Jeffrey Hollander says there have been two recent changes in the field.
The content of the product has become more mass market oriented, so that it has become of interest to many more people. Secondly, there is so much hardware available that virtually everyone can buy and play the new products.
Jeffrey Hollander indicates audio publishers must tread carefully in aiming for specific audiences.
If you do a program that is targeted towards women, already you've eliminated 50% of the potential market, and you can work on down. If you do a program towards pregnant women or women with one-year-old children, you have an even smaller piece that you're working on.
In this program, you'll hear Richard Stack, who holds a master's degree in developmental reading and is the author of the book Speed Reading.
In addition to its nonfiction, Warner Audio's list includes such important fiction as Jailbird by Kurt Vonnegut.
Life goes on, yes, and a fool and his self-respect are soon parted, perhaps never to be reunited even on Judgment Day. Pay attention, please, for years, as well as people, are characters in this book.
Jeffrey Hollander says the retail stores usually lump books on tape together, regardless of their type.
We're just now getting mature enough so that we have fiction and we have nonfiction and we have children's. But unless the manufacturer provides a display to the retailer that is broken up by those categories, they all get thrown together.
Jeffrey Hollander of Warner Audio, which now has a catalog of some 250 spoken word cassettes. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swain. When the prestigious publishing firm of Random House decided to enter the field of books on tape, it didn't know that competitors Simon & Schuster and Bantam would also jump on the bandwagon. But Random House unveiled its first dozen titles in 1985, with another two dozen expected over the coming months. Publisher Jane Becker Friedman says she plans to put on tape only books that were originally printed by Random House and its subsidiaries.
The booksellers had sold these books. The booksellers knew that many of these books were perennial bestsellers, if not current bestsellers, and we felt that this was a really strong reason to start this new line.
Random House audiobooks lean heavily to the literary side.
We have Toni Morrison reading from Song of Solomon.
Milkman cupped his mouth with one hand and waved the other over his head. Here I am. Am, said the rocks. You want me, huh? You want my life? Life.
We have John Updike reading selected stories. We have Studs Terkel reading The Good War.
I was in combat for 6 weeks, 42 days. I remember every hour, every minute, every incident of the whole 42 days.
And we have Gore Vidal reading from Lincoln.
Hay held the door for Lincoln, who passed through, eyes on the floor. This was sometimes a deliberate tactic in order not to see those who wanted to be seen by him.
Jane Becker Friedman says Random House audiobooks are not complete books, but offer a sampling of the author's work.
I feel that if the listener likes the words of Ann Tyler, that listener is going to run to a bookstore to get that full book.
Jane Becker Friedman, who is keeping her fingers crossed that Random House audiobooks will take off. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Audio publishing is taking off thanks to those personal stereos.
Everyone seems to be walking around with a Walkman. Every car seems to have an audio cassette recorder as part of the standard operating equipment.
That's Jane Becker Friedman of Random House Audiobooks confirming what we know already, that personal stereos can be listened to everywhere, even underwater. And in addition to the music, the listener can now enjoy books on tape. A dozen major firms are competing with the granddaddy of audio publishing, Cadman, whose producer is Linda Morgenstern.
We were the first to really go into it as a business and in a big way and really give it the artistic commitment that we gave it.
Another pioneer in the field is Spoken Arts, founded 30 years ago by Arthur Luce Klein, who says he welcomes the competition but insists he has no plans to change the highly literary nature of his records and tapes.
The wealth and depth of what a country is, to me, depends a good deal on what its literary output is.
Spoken Arts takes a no-nonsense approach to its audio products. Authors or their surrogates reading without background music or sound effects, the tapes packaged simply. But other audio publishers use actors and music with elaborate boxes and cover art. The infant field of spoken word tapes is already crowded. Daniel Roth of Newman Communications, which both distributes and creates books on tape, sees the situation this way.
There's a real gold rush kind of a fervor. We're all spread very thin. We're all out there slugging away, trying to get the same rights to the same books and trying to, you know, fighting for the same shelf space. It's a brawl.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Audio publishing is a recent phenomenon developing about the time the Japanese invaded America with the Sony Walkman. Companies manufacturing books on tape have sprung up everywhere. The Canadian-based firm Listen for Pleasure charged across the border and set up U.S. headquarters in Buffalo. The head of Listen for Pleasure is Terry Durkin.
We never expected to have the market all to ourselves, and as soon as we were successful, obviously other people followed.
Audiobooks are still new to the consumers, many of whom think that books on tape are meant just for the blind. Jeffrey Hollander of Warner Audio.
The biggest thing that we have to accomplish in the next year to 2 years is creating consumer awareness. No one company is going to do it on their own. We're only going to do it by working together.
Some of the new players in the audio publishing game, such as Random House, are putting their own titles on tape, and this could make it hard on the independent producers, such as Dan Roth of Newman Communications, who sees changes ahead in the way book contracts are drawn.
The literary agents, to an increasing degree, will seek to retain the audio rights, in which case the publishers will not have an automatic claim, and whether or not they really do have an automatic claim is something which will probably be tested in litigation.
The entry of audiobooks into the retail market is creating confusion. One, there is no standardized packaging, so the cassettes come in a variety of shapes and sizes, making it hard for booksellers to figure out how to display them. And some booksellers wonder if bookstores are the place for audio products. Jeffrey Hollander of Warner Audio.
Within 6 months, this industry will start to get organized. There'll be a trade organization, and hopefully companies will start cooperating together.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. A pioneer in putting the spoken word on record and tape is Cadman, which is already starting to record its material on the new compact disc. But Jane Becker Friedman of Random House Audiobooks, which just entered the cassette tape field, is being more cautious.
As book publishers, we have worked in a certain way for 100 trillion years, and now that we're entering other aspects of publishing, it's a little difficult for us to move as fast as the technology is insisting.
Editorial control over books on tape is another problem in the audio publishing industry. How to cut long books so they can fit on one, two, or more cassettes without destroying the author's intent? And what about the scatological nature of today's language? Should that go on the tapes? Terry Durkin of Listen for Pleasure.
We would like people in our particular concept, in our books, to be able to put a book on in a car with maybe their kids around or mystery stories or whatever that anyone could listen to, and you wouldn't be in the position of embarrassing people.
Like books of the printed variety, books on tape vary widely in their quality and execution, which bothers Jeffrey Hollander of Warner Audio.
One of the things that concerns me the most about this industry is the very flexible quality standards from different companies. And I am most concerned that someone is going to buy their first tape and have it be a bad tape.
Audio publishing is competitive enough that Dan Roth of Newman Communications is predicting a number of casualties by 1987.
I think there's definitely going to be a shakedown, and I think that it's going to happen whenever the people who analyze the numbers get done analyzing Christmas 86 numbers.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Audio publishing is still in the cradle, but the field is becoming crowded. Here's a small sampling of some of the material available. From Cadman, Henry Fonda reading Walter Van Tilburg Clark's The Oxbow Incident.
It's murder, murder, and nothing less. You were all warned. You wanted justice, did you? Well, by God, you shall have it now, real justice. Every man of you is under arrest for murder.
From Spoken Arts, Hiram Sherman reading The Notorious Jumping Frog of Calaveras County by Mark Twain.
He never done nothing for 3 months but sit in his backyard and learn that frog to jump. And you bet you he did learn him, too.
From Listen for Pleasure, Lionel Jeffries reading Winnie the Pooh.
Edward Bear, known to his friends as Winnie the Pooh, was walking through the forest one day, humming proudly to himself.
Hello, hello.
Distributed by Newman Communications, Alexander Scorby reading The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Gatsby turned out all right at the end. It is what preyed on Gatsby, what foul dust floated in the wake of his dreams, that temporarily closed out my interest in the abortive sorrows and short-winded elations of men.
From Warner Audio, Jane Alexander reading Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca.
Last night I dreamt I went to Mandalay again. It seemed to me I stood by the iron gate leading to the drive, and for a while I could not enter, for the way was barred to me.
From Random House Audiobooks, Tony Roberts reading Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon.
When a man's partner is killed, he's supposed to do something about it. It doesn't make any difference what you thought of him. He was your partner, and you're supposed to do something about it.
A sampling of Books on Tape. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.